testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we finish our study of Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, titled 70 Weeks Are Determined. This is part 2 of 2.
A completed thing. It takes us back to the conditions man enjoyed in Eden. You ever read about Eden? There's not a lot about it, but there's some things said about Eden. And in the cool of the day, Adam walked and talked with the Lord. I believe it's Jesus. The first Adam walking and talking with the second Adam. That's what Jesus is called by Paul in Corinth. Because the first Adam came sinless, glorified, but then chose to fall. And then we have what we call the fall, the curse. Then the second Adam is the Lord from heaven who came as Adam. Adam means man. And that second Adam is the Lord from heaven, came and died for your sins, for my sins. Shed his blood to pay for our sins. And because of that, there's coming a day when you and I are going to experience Eden. We're going to experience that. You got to see this, Hosea. And yes, that is a book of the Bible. Right before Joel. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Someone just remind me. While you turn there, I was leading the youth, and some kids trying to remember the books of the Bible. Was Hosea, Joel, Amos, Hepatitis. I said, no. That's not a book of the Bible. That's a bad disease. Hosea 6, 1 and 2, this is one of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible, and one of the most least known. Come, verse 1, Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Look at this, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's Israel. A day is as 1,000 years. Do you know that? Do we have to run those references? Everybody know those? A day is as 1,000 years. 30 AD, 1,030 AD, 2,030 AD. I'm not setting a date here. I'm just telling you the facts. If the 2 days began with his resurrection, that would put the rapture before 2023. What year is it right now? Just checking. Some of you don't look like you may know. 2018. That would mean the rapture would happen within the next 5 years. Now, there's a possibility that this countdown began with 70 AD. Because even after the resurrection of Christ, there was a transition period we call the book of Acts. And during that time, there was still an open door. God was still giving them. You remember when Stephen was martyred in Acts 7? Do you remember he saw Jesus standing? Later, Paul said he sees Jesus sitting. Why was he standing when Stephen was martyred? Because it was still before 70 AD. I believe that in a practical sense, not that God doesn't know the end from the beginning and all that, that's a whole other issue for discussion. But the fact is that if Israel had repented as a nation, and not just a remnant being saved, Jesus would have returned some point during the book of Acts. And you say, where would I be? Where would you be? Well, we probably would have been born during the millennium. And then all you have to do is not rebel at the end of it, Charlie. Yeah. I actually think that's preferable, as bad as it can be. So, again, not setting dates, but it's just a matter of math that I believe it's true. But that would push the rapture back, though, to about 2063 or something like that. So, that means even if I'm able to live to be 100, the rapture would have to happen before I turn 100. Because I'll be 100 in 2069. Mark your calendars. I want a party. So, isn't the Bible an amazing book? Amen. And verse 24 says the 70 weeks are determined to bring in everlasting righteousness. If you think this has already happened, you need your head checked. You say, who? Do you realize there are people today who claim that we're in the millennium? There are people in seminaries, professors in seminaries, commentaries out there that teach that Satan is bound. I'd hate to see what it would be like if he wasn't, for starters. I mean, just look at all the mass murders and everything taking place and the abortion and all that. It's just ridiculous. It hardly even requires comment, and yet it's out there. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll turn there quickly. You can turn there if you like. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things... Wait a minute, I'm in chapter 2. I did that last week. I think I did the exact same thing last week. 2 Peter 3:12. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. And when you see the prophets over and over, they'll say, world without end. That's what it's talking about. Amen? I just like thinking about it. 70 weeks are determined to seal up the vision and prophecy. This means to put a completion to it, to seal it up. I made a little list here. Today we'd say, maybe, to put a lid on things. Put it to rest. Seal the deal. You see my point? And so forth and so on and what have you. 70 weeks are determined to anoint the most holy. What is that? This is in reference to the millennial temple. First mention is in Exodus 26:33. Exodus 26:33, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the tashes, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. This is Moses being given the instructions. Remember, these instructions are based on the heavenly model. And the Ark of the Testimony, that's, you know, Raiders of the Lost what? Yeah, it's not talking about Noah's Ark. It's talking about the Ark that has the law, has Aaron's bud, has manna in it at this point. And it's put in the holy place. And it says, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the what? That's what's going to be anointed. When Jesus returns, there's going to be a temple. I believe that on the ark There is a mercy seat with cherubim in the model. In the millennial temple, I believe the ark will have real cherub, the real thing. Six wings. And I can't remember, I looked it up how tall. The wings themselves are 6 feet tall. That's how big these things are, these cherub. And on the mercy seat sits the king.
Glory.
Now you cross-reference that with Ezekiel 41:4, where he's giving the actual measurements of the millennial temple, which is massive compared to Solomon's temple. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. That's what Daniel is saying. The 70 weeks are determined that this place will be anointed and established as the, basically, the home of the King Jesus in the millennial reign. The kingdom. And that's where we're going to cut it off tonight. But one thing we can be sure of, in Ezekiel as well, he said, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I love that. So many times, but this is just one of the best. Where God is dealing with an apostate nation like we have here in America, where no one wants to believe the Bible. I told Jenny, you know, I do these things. I don't necessarily recommend everybody else does it, but I watch the unbelievers. I watch their lectures. I watch their documentaries and I read their books. And I've watched over 3 hours of documentaries on death and how that they are trying to basically overcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they have, knowing they need something else. And to prepare themselves to die, knowing they have rejected God. Now, of course, they wouldn't put it in those terms. I'm saying that's what you can see if you have any discernment and you watch these things. And some of them really do come to a delusion about it, to where they think, oh yeah, it's all just natural. We just came from the stars. I'm going to die. And in a few billion years, the sun will explode. The earth will melt. We'll become dust. And I'm going to be a star. Aww. That's what they actually... And they think... And to me, that's wonderful. That's their idea of what they're heading to when they die. Now, that's not everybody. I mean, you got the other people, you know, who... The Hindu and those, they think that they're going to be reincarnated and come back as a fruit fly and get smashed. And then they'll be reincarnated as a cow and there'll be a steak. And then they'll be reincarnated as something else. And there's really no end to that. And Gandhi, for example, said it was a burden too great to bear and all that. Isn't it wonderful to have something to depend upon? And something that as when we do think of death and dying, when that day comes, if you will today have a relationship with the Lord and feed on this word regularly, it'll thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And this word in your head and your heart when the days come that you lose a loved one, if they know the Lord, or when you face death, you're not going to have to go and all of a sudden try to, in 2 or 3 days, build your faith. You're going to have faith. You're going to have assurance. And you're going to know that you have put your trust in the Word of God. And He says, I have spoken it. It shall come to pass. And I will do it. Amen. Any questions you would like to ask in the next few minutes? Anyone? Anybody? Charlie.
So, my wife and I were talking, and she had a question, but in the Old Testament, it talks about sacrifices. She asked, God doesn't eat those things.
No, God doesn't.
Yeah, but
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then parts are cast out outside of the. Yes, under the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Now at that time Jesus may eat those. Yes. Yes, and it's a different priesthood. It's not the same that was under the Old Testament. It's not the priesthood of Aaron. And the name slips my mind. There's a word. He actually names the priesthood in Ezekiel. But anyway, there will be a priesthood, and they will consume the animals, and it'll be not only a sweet savor unto the Lord, but I believe he's going to eat, and he'll drink of the cup in the kingdom like he promised. So, yeah, you know, who knows? We might be able to actually sit down and have a meal with Jesus. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. No, it's not going to be McDonald's. We can thank the Lord for that. You'll have to talk to the Lord about that. I know they don't have any potatoes in the temple. That's a good question. Those are my favorite questions because, you know, people don't think about what's to come in the millennium and in heaven. We talk about heaven. What's that even mean, you know, and what's going to be like? We have, you know, I think it's going to be very similar to what we are doing now, you know. But it'll be, no one will be tired. You know, Janice was saying she's guzzling coffee to try to stay awake. You're not going to do that in a millennium, you know. Zadok, yes. You know, and what I was talking about just a moment ago, I didn't even think about this. Actually, I could count numerous other documentaries, you know, over and above like 3 hours of the documentaries I was talking about. And one of the recent ones we watched just the other day was For the Love of Spock. Yeah. Live Long and Prosper. What? Was it yesterday? But... you know, sad. So many of the people featured were unrepentant sodomites, and they talked about death in terms of goofiness. You know, it was just, it talked about his life, but it talked about his death. He died of the disease I have, COPD, but he smoked for 30 years and hastened his death, even though he did quit for 20 years, I think, before he died. But his family comes from a observant Jewish background, but he wasn't observant. And his children, when talking to them, they don't have any real... There's just an emptiness, no hope. And, you know, it's sad because even that symbol he got from when he was attending synagogue with his father. And they were doing the final prayer, and he was 8 years old, and his dad said, "Don't look. You're not supposed to look." Of course, like an 8-year-old, he looked. And there were several of the elders up there with their hands outstretched like this, saying the prayer. Huh? Shin, yeah. Symbol of the shin. So, anyway, I don't know. Leonard Nimoy, I just always loved the guy. Just, you know, In Search Of, my favorite shows. He was in Mission, was it Mission Impossible on TV? Star Trek, given everybody knows. I hope everybody knows that. But that was only on for 2 years or something like that, compared to his other shows. And then, of course, the movies. They made what? How many movies was he in with Star Trek movies? Huh? Wow. And which one of those was where they went out like they were going to find God or something, and it was... Yeah, and that's a bad one. It's a bad, you know, just a very bad... Did he? That wouldn't surprise me. But it just makes you thankful when you see how people like that, they don't have any hope and everything. You wish they did, but you're thankful that God has saved you. And you have the Word of God, and you're not left. Because what I was getting at is all these people in all these documentaries, they get to the point where they revert to the Romans 1 thing. They actually become, the universe becomes their God. And they talk in glowing terms of how we are part of the universe, and it is in us. And when we die, we become part of the universe. And that's why they say, I'm made of stardust, and I'm going to be a star, and all that. And it's just claptrap. It's nonsense, and it's delusional.
The movie American Pie just came out, that was the whole message.
I wondered about that.
It was, yeah. So if you watch it, you get to see all that whole star and universe stuff. Yeah, it's so
Yeah, sad stuff. Life. Yeah, you watch these science specials, some of the photography and everything, it's amazing. But I'm sitting there thinking how wonderful the hand of God is, and the guy's talking on there, like,
billions of years ago, nothing exploded. And through natural processes, we have this beauty.
You're like, you have to be insane. That's how... All right, let's close. Can we sing?
He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did. I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy help, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thy self. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrow into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee.
Please.